Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. So James, the Malville Horror. This is an interesting title for an episode. Pretty much you said this is what it is. So tell me, what was the Malville Horror?
Okay, so this started back in 2008. A friend of mine who lived in the same town as me, Victoria, went to Perth in Western Australia for a holiday. And he didn't end up coming back. He stayed and he rented a house there near Fremantle and in a suburb called Melville. And I was in between jobs at the time then, and he got me on the phone and said, oh, you should come over. It's great. You'll get a job in a couple of days here, and I'll put you up. And so that was that. So I moved over. So I ended up driving across. So it took about 3 days, and when I got to his house that he was renting in Melville, I got to the door, and I was a bit. How would you say? I was a bit taken aback. I felt funny about the house. I said, "It's funny, Gary. I don't feel like I want to enter the house. It's something." And then the first thing he said was, "Funny that, because it's haunted." And I was like, tell me more. And so he was telling me a story because he'd only been there for 2 weeks. And he was saying he was by himself because, you know, he was the only one there. He vacuumed the lounge room, done a bit of cleaning. And then when he came back into the lounge room, his tie was sitting in the middle of the floor where he'd just vacuumed. And he thought that was really strange. Didn't think too much of it at the time. When he was trying to sleep at night, he'd have his bedroom door shut and he could see shadows underneath the door of legs walking past and doors slamming. So he thought there was somebody in the house. So he'd get up and have a look. No one was ever around. So he told me that. And I didn't think, well, I thought maybe he's just over-exaggerating or just by himself because he's making stories up. But I found some things started happening in the house for me. I could hear door handles would shake on their own, rattle and shake. With no one around, you'd be sitting in the lounge room and you'd hear doors rattling. And it seemed to get worse as time went on, the things that happened. And the house was pretty old. I guess if you had to put a time frame on the house, it would be about 1940s, 50s it was built. And it came fully furnished as part of the rental agreement, but all the furniture was really antique style. So that was a bit off-putting as well.
Yeah, that's a red flag, isn't it?
yeah. You're kind of living in a museum kind of thing. And another creepy thing I found with the place was it had a garden shed, but in the garden shed there was about 20 suitcases full of rotting dolls and things like mold all over them. And I'm just thinking, why would the landlord keep all these dolls in suitcases in a garden shed?
That's creepy, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me.
Did you bin them? Like, I would have just bin that right away.
Oh, I probably would have, but it kind of wasn't mine to throw away. But it definitely was like a question, like, what is going on here? And things would start happening more within the house. It was like you could hear footsteps walking very quickly or even running down the hallway. And then I found, for some reason, I couldn't sleep in my bedroom without the light being on. And one of my roommates commented on it and said, oh, you left your light on all night last night. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, I must have gone to sleep. And I didn't want to admit that I was feeling a bit off in the room. And one night I was so tired, I thought, oh, bugger what I'm feeling. I'm just going to turn the light off and go to sleep. And as soon as I turned the light off and went back to bed, it was like it was taunting me and violently threw a keyboard that was on a dresser across the room and it smashed on the wall and all the keys come flying off. So no, it wasn't like an accident where it just fell on the floor. So it was like, you turned your light off, I'm going to show you. So I didn't know what to think of that. Then we started hearing voices, but they were muffled. So you couldn't work out what they were saying, but definitely voices within the house. But it was like someone was talking from behind a wall. Then I think one of the kickers for me too was, you know how on those ghost hunting TV shows you might see an orb in the infrared, how they float through very quickly, and then they might say, oh, we got an orb on camera. I actually saw an orb come into my room from the gap in the door. There was a gap at the top of about 2 inch. At first I thought it was like a moth or something coming in. It kind of come in, went out, come in, went out. I'm like, what the hell is that? Then it started floating into the room. It was very pale. It wasn't bright at all. It was about the size of a tennis ball and it was pulsating, just this gentle pulsating light. And it looked like the internal parts of it looked like a jellyfish. And I'm looking at this thinking, what is this? I can't explain what that is. And then it's gone straight back to the gap at the top of the door and it's gone out again. So all these things that are happening. Another kicker for me was that I was home by myself and I was about to start afternoon shift. Everyone else in the house was at work. I'd walked down the hallway into the kitchen and got my car keys off the kitchen bench and I turned around. And in those 3 seconds from the hallway to the kitchen, I turned around. A kitchen chair had been moved to the middle of the hallway where I'd just walked. No sound. There was no sound at all. There wasn't squeaking the speed that it happened to just shocked me. And I was like, oh, I've got to get out of here. Like, I went to work and I told people at work, and they looked at me a bit funny. I don't think they really believed what was going on. We had four other adults staying in the house at the time, and it got to the point where everyone was having experiences. Everyone was terrified. It wasn't a very big house either. And one night, just for a laugh, we thought, we'll turn the lights off and I'll taunt it. And, you know, we're having a few drinks. And so we'll sit in the lounge room, we'll turn all the lights off. And this is about 11 at night. And I said something along the lines of, you don't live here anymore. You are dead. This is our house. And some footsteps come bounding down the hallway, and where we were sitting in the lounge room was carpet, and it come bounding down the hallway and footsteps scuffed on the carpet, and we all just about screamed.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know how you explain that. But everyone, we were thinking we've got to move out of this place. And then we started sleeping in each other's rooms, like on the floor, just because we didn't want to sleep in our own bedrooms anymore. It was crazy. And our neighbors told us that the people living there before us just packed up and left in the middle of the night, which I can understand. And besides, I think the only thing I didn't really see was an actual entity besides the orb. I didn't see any like ghosts per se, but you could definitely feel what was going on, with everyone in the house scared as they were and trying to get sleep and the rest of it, I was up late at night on my computer, which was situated in the kitchen at the time, and I shut it down, and it was about 1 a.m. and I'm like, everyone was a bit on edge about footsteps in the house, and so I thought I'd be quiet and just walk like very silently, and it's like it knew what I was doing, trying to be silent. So I thought, oh well, I'll come bounding up behind you in what sounded like great big work boots stamping on the floor. It stamped up behind me, and I'm thinking there's someone standing behind me, and but I turned around, there was nothing there. It was like it was a deliberate taunt, because you're being quiet, I'm going to be loud. And that was just, I don't know what was going on there. But it got to the point where we moved out. We moved to a different suburb for a while. And then eventually I come back to Victoria. But I still was seeking answers. I was like, there's something has to explain what was going on. It was an intelligent thing that we couldn't see. So I started reaching out to some paranormal forums on the internet, and I got in touch with Alan Tiller from Idle and Paranormal, and he's quite renowned for being in that paranormal field, and so he invited me over back then in 2008, 2009 to do a bit of ghost hunting. So I thought, great, I'm going to be in this, because I was fascinated, absolutely fascinated with the paranormal after all this had happened. And I was watching every ghost show you could think of. and I was just fascinated with the whole thing. And I was like, I've got to find out more on this.
Yeah, you caught the bug.
I caught the bug, yeah. And so I went over so I live in country Victoria, so I'd do some trips over to Adelaide and go on some of these ghost hunts with Alan. And he validated some things for me too. We were at a cemetery one night, and I could see this really big shadow figure behind some rocks, and I'm taking photos with the flash, and I'm not getting anything on the camera. And I'm like, I think I can see someone there, like a figure. And I didn't say anything at the time, and I walked back to the car, and Alan comes over and he says, do you see that really big guy over by the stones? And I'm like, oh, man, you saw it too. So crazy. And Then another time that we went to the Kapunda Cemetery to do an investigation there, and we walked in the gate and we heard a disembodied whistle from afar, and then a voice saying, "He's back again." And Alan turns around. He said, "You hear that?" And I said, "Yep, I heard he's back again." And I think he was talking about them. So that some of those things validated that. And another time, we're actually playing poker at like 3 a.m. at his house, and in my peripheral vision, up the top, I saw like a face peek around the corner. And he said, "Oh, did you see that?" And I went, "Yes, I did." What? And he goes, "Yeah, that's a 12-year-old girl that had followed me home from somewhere."
Oh no!
And I'm like, "Wow!" Because I saw that in my peripheral vision—a face peek around the corner. And then he said, just casually, because he's that experienced with it all, that sometimes spirits will follow him home like that. So I saw things that he validated, and this all happened from my experience in Melville, and it's just crazy. And I don't know who's living there now, and if they're having any experiences, but yeah,
I have 100 questions for you, James, because. Yeah. What a story. You're I'm going to give people a little bit of like a behind the scenes tour here, but you basically sent me this email and you're like, "Yeah, it sounds like a title for a horror movie, doesn't it?" Yes. Yep. Yes, it does. And it sounds like a horror movie. Holy crap, James.
Yes. Yeah. Yep, for sure.
How long were you living in this residence for?
So we lasted about 6 months before we couldn't take it anymore, and there was 3 of us that got another house, another rental in another suburb, so we were quick out of there. The unfortunate thing for one of the people that was left, there was a couple, but they'd split up, and so it was only the one fella left, and he was there by himself, so I don't feel I feel a bit guilty about that, because we left him there in this house where all these happenings were occurring.
It's a tough thing, because a lot of people don't think realize the consequences of the real world when it comes to haunting, because you just can't up and move. And you know, that's the thing. He had to stay back. That's the real life consequence of this, is that somebody had to stay on the lease. Somebody had to stay there and weather the storm, essentially.
Yeah. And the other tough thing about that as well is that you don't really have anywhere to turn to when it comes to these things. Like you go to work and you say to your colleagues, "Oh, wow, a chair moved by itself when I wasn't looking." And they're like, "Yeah, James, I think you might need to have a lay down, bud."
Yeah.
There's not, and I think that's one of the reasons why I was reaching out to those paranormal groups back in the day to get those people that have had their own experiences, or they're open to it, because at the end of the day, everything that went on there is just you can't explain it from the just the normal side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you were kind of living in that age of like 2008 was right on the cusp of, you know, Facebook was starting to get quite big, and you know, the whole online community, the whole online scene was really starting to change. So. Mm-hmm. It would have been a really interesting moment in your life to be able to reach out to people and say, "Hey, this is happening," and sharing those types of encounters and getting the validation that, hey, you know, you're not crazy, and everyone that lives with you isn't crazy, because, you know, these things do happen. That would have been like a small weight off your shoulders, I would imagine. And now a quick word from our sponsor.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Yeah, definitely. And at the time as well, we were reaching out to some Perth-based paranormal groups. There wasn't very many, and this is in the infancy of all those really ghost hunting shows and things like that. And we couldn't really get anyone to come around, and that's another reason why I thought, well, I want to look into these things myself, and see what else is going on, and if I can get more validation of what I experienced there. But you're right, the just having other people there that are seeing and hearing the same things as you. And so I guess we had ourselves to talk amongst as well.
It would have been great to have people there experiencing it with you. I know that sounds like a silly thing to say, but when you kind of started the story off, you know, it kind of sounded like it was all kind of happening to that one person. I think Gary, you said his name was.
Yeah.
And it almost sounded like he was just like kind of laughing it off. Like, yeah, haha, the house is haunted. But then it got too real.
It did, and that's the thing. It seemed to get worse as time went along. When Gary just moved in, it was just the tie being moved and some shadows going past and a door getting slammed every now and then. And when the doors started shaking, the door handles to the bedrooms and things like that, but you know, there'd be like a few days in between occurrences of things happening. And it got to a point where it was daily. You get home from work and you'd hear footsteps running. If we left something in the hallway, like a bucket or something, that would actually get knocked sometimes, like just out of the blue. Like, yeah, if you just left like trigger items and things like that, but it actually had the ability to manipulate things, objects.
That's scary, isn't it? Because it's not just a residual haunting, you know, like a ghost going through a pattern of, you know, walking through a wall where a door used to be or something like that. Like, this is something that is purposely going out of its way to wreak havoc and, I guess, basically disturb and manipulate the fear in that house.
Yeah, definitely. We couldn't really get any answers either from the landlord, and he got very defensive when we asked about it. We're trying to be subtle, like to say, oh, you know, has anyone kind of passed away? And then he was like, he got very defensive about when we started kind of hinting at any kind of like haunting activity. Oh wow, what else? It's like at night especially, I had like a sunroom at the front door, like a sunroom before you get to the actual front door. And I'd get home at like 3 a.m. from work, and you'd walk in the sunroom and you couldn't get the key in the door fast enough because you felt like someone was standing behind you just to get inside. And then we started we took photos just with the potato cameras that we had back then. But we did get anomalies on those photos. Like, we got streaks of light and weird reflections.
Yeah, right.
We got like an orb in a couple of the photos, not your typical orb, but the weird jellyfish thing that I saw. It's just I just couldn't believe that I saw that one with my own eyes, not through infrared or anything like that. And for such a long time, because by the time it floated in the room, it floated around my feet and went back out the room, that would have been a good minute and a half.
You know, it's funny, the way you describe that, I've seen something very similar to that. Mine was, and the way you said, like, it looked like a jellyfish on the inside, it was exactly like that. The way I kind of explained it when I tell people that I've seen something like this is, you know, like those Tesla coils where you kind of see the electricity kind of wobbling around everywhere?
Yep.
That's how I kind of put it. But when you said jellyfish, it's definitely more like that. Like, it was all wibbly wobbly on the inside.
Yeah, it's so strange. And you could tell that it was conscious, whatever it was. It was some kind of being in the shape of an orb. Maybe that's the shape that they take when they're not manifested as a person or something. But one of the other things that I did with Alan was when we looked at Kapunda, he had a psychic come through to one of his conventions once, and she was doing readings, and we were telling her how we'd been to Kapunda, and she said, "No, don't go there. There's evil things there." And we'd been there one night, and I'd travelled back to Victoria, and another friend of mine that was with us, she was from Adelaide. She texted me the next day and said that she saw some dark entity in her room up near the ceiling. And unfortunately for me, something followed me home. And it was, how can I explain it? It sounded like static electricity. I was laying on my side. I was fully awake, but I was laying on my side in bed, and this static electricity, I could hear zapping like in the air. And I'm like, what is, I've left a speaker on, or what's going on? But, and then you could feel the electricity in the air, and it's like put a hand on my shoulder, and it pushed me with force onto my back. And I'm like, wow, I'm awake. I can feel this zapping, staticky electricity, and something has pushed with a palm of a hand on my shoulder and pushed me forcefully onto my back. And then it left again. It kind of went out the other side of the room. So my friend and I both had experiences the night after doing a graveyard investigation too.
It's intense. Like, it definitely seems like you fully went in on the whole paranormal thing. But
yep.
Not only that, like, it almost seems like it is fully showing itself to you as well, ever since you had that experience back at Melville.
Yes, definitely. I don't know what it was, but I never had such a fascination with that kind of thing before. I never really thought of it. But as soon as Gary said, had a laugh at his door, and when I was standing there and said that the house is haunted, ever since then, it's piqued my interest.
How old were you when you moved into that house?
I would have been late 20s, early 30s.
What was the effect on you mentally being in a situation like that? Because I personally would feel like the anxiety would just be through the roof from not only yourself but everybody else.
Oh, absolutely. That was a factor. And I think some tempers flared because of it. There was some lost sleep because of it. My sister came to stay once. And the only place she could sleep was my room, and so I crashed on the floor in a swag. And I'd be working till like 3 in the morning where I worked. And I'd come home and she'd have the light on and she'd have a face washer across her eyes because she didn't have one of those sleeping masks. So, and because she felt the same presence, as it was a very strong presence. It was something that you didn't have to be psychic to know that someone was in the room, or just this eerie, oof, you're not alone feeling.
It's something that, you know, when you have kids and you don't get sleep, it's really hard, and that's usually just a mum and a dad. You know,
yeah.
you put five people in a house and they don't get sleep from mm-hmm. from this type of thing. It would have been, you would have been walking on eggshells just with the people in the house, let alone whatever else was in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I couldn't think of anything else, any other option for us besides like a full-blown exorcism, I think, with a priest, I think, because, there just wasn't any other option, and everybody had their daily experiences in the end, because it was like it was deliberately angry with us, or that we were in the house. I don't know. And to have things like a great big chair just shift by itself with no sound, that's what really creeped me out, was the fact that there was like no creaking, no sliding across the floor. It was like it was picked up and put in the middle of the hallway. Crazy.
Were you genuinely scared to be in that place?
Absolutely. Yeah. We couldn't wait to get away. And I think that ruined the experience for us in Western Australia. I think it was a factor in making my mind up to come back to Victoria in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I could imagine it would be. You know, you moved, you know, essentially across the country for this, and then you move into a place like this, you'd want to be far away as you can from there.
Yeah, absolutely. And and of course, after that experience, that's when I looked into at the all the paranormal shows that started coming out, and being fascinated with that as well, and watching what those guys did, and being able to tell the fake ones from the real ones.
Yeah, you'd be a bit of an expert yourself by then. Was there something that really switched the paradigm on its head for you?
I guess wanting answers for what I'd seen and what had happened in that time, and I'm like, there's got to be something else going on. And when people talk about paranormal and hauntings and things like that, for me, I've come to learn that there is something going on. Whether it's life after death, I don't know, but there is some entities that can just play around with our reality.
100%. Yep, definitely. The things I've been learning about the paranormal lately is fascinating and terrifying at the same time, because it really does go to show how powerless one can be in a situation. It's quite mind-boggling, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely.
Knowing what you know now, James, would you, because you've dived in deep, you've gone down the rabbit hole, which I personally love. You know, you've essentially became like a pseudo investigator, essentially, of the paranormal. Yep. Mm-hmm. Would you ever go back to the Melville House?
You know, I've thought about that. I'd love to, just so I could talk to the people that are there now. Tap on the door, introduce myself, and then maybe try and gently go into some kind of, have you had any experiences in the place here? That would be interesting to me, because I just think it would be odd for whatever was there just to vanish or go when someone else moves in. I believe it was there for people previous and for us. But last time I actually saw the place, I had a look actually not too long ago on Street View, on Google Street View, just out of curiosity. And whoever's in there now has actually renovated it and put in a new shed on the side and things like that. So that's interesting.
I wonder if they stirred anything up by doing that. That'd be, they'd have some tales, I'm sure of it.
Oh, there'd have to be. I just can't see it just stopping out of the blue. Yeah.
Did any of your previous housemates have any experiences after this? Because I always wonder in situations like this if these entities or whatever they are, if they're there for a person.
Yeah, that's a good question, because we found out the hard way that they can follow you home. And I think when we moved out of that place and into another suburb in Perth, which was about probably 15, 20-minute drive from there, it was myself and Gary, and we could have sworn that we were hearing things in the new place, footsteps in the new place, and we're yelling out down the hallway, "Are you hearing that?" And I'm like, "I bloody hope not." So, and then that seemed to die down after a couple of weeks. We didn't hear anything else, but it's like it almost like it was following us. Yeah.
It really would have been feeling like you were living in a horror movie if those experiences were happening at the next house.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I wouldn't have known what to do then if it just kept happening. But to think of that house in Melville just gives me the creeps now. Just if I was back living there, it's just terrible. And even when you were home alone, you just never felt like you were alone. Just someone was always watching.
That sense of not having any privacy would have been frustrating too.
Oh, definitely. Yep.
What a terrible situation to be in, James. I don't mean to laugh, but
holy crap. You know, I tell people these stories that happen and I'm laughing as well. I'm having, you know, because how else can you really deal with it? And just to say, oh yeah, you know, this is what happened to me, and we're all terrified. And it's kind of funny in a way when you think about it, when there's five grown adults and we're all kind of crammed in one room because we're scared of some ghost. It's a funny, kind of funny story.
I'm trying to see the funny side of it, because I just couldn't imagine you and that group of people trying to explain to outsiders like the rationality of what you're doing.
Yeah. Some people are really open to it and fascinated. Like they want all the little details. Like when you talk about it, like you might be at a barbecue and someone will mention something about something paranormal or scary or something like that, and then I usually drop, well, I lived in a haunted house and this is what happened. And sometimes, yeah, you'll get those people that are really fascinated and want to hear what happened and what eventuated and things like that. You'll get those kinds of people.
How do you go sharing the story now? Do you think everything that happened there has made you stronger in the world of the paranormal?
Oh, definitely. It's I think from what I went away and learned in the time since, and you know, spending time with people like Alan and being exposed to those kinds of people in that paranormal field, you learn you learn not to push boundaries as well. They talk about never to play with Ouija boards and things like that. And they're the things that I wholeheartedly agree with. That I think you go into these things with an open mind, but have a viewpoint of self-preservation. You try not to go in and antagonize these beings, entities, things like that, with things like Ouija boards and opening portals and all that kind of stuff. It's I think it got to the point where I was quite comfortable, you know, wandering around one of the cemeteries near Adelaide in the middle of the night, where other normal people would be absolutely terrified.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you've earned your paranormal stripes, that's for sure there, James. And I have to tell you, man, thank you so much for coming on the podcast to share the Melville horror story, because it is that. It is a genuine horror. I had goosebumps the entire time you were telling me the things that were going on, and I don't know how you stayed there after the bloody keyboard got thrown across the room. I would have been packed up and straight out of there.
I don't know why I didn't go then, but yeah, that was one of the beginning experiences, and then it kicked off from there, and then it led to different things.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.